The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you can be with us on another summery afternoon. Our first show of August. How's the year going so far? Everybody doing okay? Everybody doing fantastic? Good. Let's keep it up. Because we got quite a show for you today. We're going to talk at 1:30 with Bob the Barber up in Snohomish. In fact, coming up in a few minutes in The Big Lead, I will tell you what Jay Inslee and the state of Washington are doing to a business owner who just wanted to provide for his ailing family. You're not going to believe this story. Many days I come on here and I'm increasingly distressed about the state of our state, about the fact that Marxist mobs are able to trample on the rights of so many citizens. Domestic terrorists are doing just that. They're going to the homes of council members, mayors, police chiefs, with the express intent to terrorize their home and family and their neighborhood, which is why these groups are not peaceful protesters. They are domestic terrorists. They want to terrorize families to make politicians and police chiefs think like them. They operate kind of like any lawless society, which is what the vision of the Marxists have for us. But while many days I'm distressed by all of this, today I see hope, I am heartened, I am encouraged, and as always, that hope and heartening and encouragement begins with you. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Last Wednesday, let's do a little compare and contrast here. Last Wednesday, domestic terrorists flooded a Queen Anne neighborhood, screaming through the night and into the wee hours of Thursday morning. There was a man in his Queen Anne house who was trying to sleep. Just a nice residential neighborhood. Nice little Queen Anne. He was trying to sleep. And he came outside to confront the domestic terrorists. Asked them, why are you screaming? Why are you doing this? Why are you marching in our neighborhood? And he was rolling video on his phone. And the domestic terrorists became enraged because they don't like people exercising First Amendment rights on public streets, which is what recording video is. And so they smashed a flashlight into this Queen Anne resident's head, sent him to the ground bleeding, likely a concussion, laid him out in the middle of a Seattle street. They took his phone. They deleted any videos and photos that he had taken. And then the mob marched on to terrorize others. And that's what happens when you allow yourself, and I'm not blaming this Queen Anne man. I will blame a bit neighborhoods en masse, because if you show weakness to bullies, if you appease a mob, they just become emboldened and they will attack harder and faster and with more fury the next time. And that's how this has built to where a guy in a nice residential neighborhood can get beaten into a concussion outside his home by these domestic terrorists. So that's how, and I don't know anything about the politics of the man who came out to confront him, but Queen Anne is a very, very liberal bastion in Seattle. I mean, everything is a liberal bastion in Seattle. You have to be, or you will be terrorized yourself. Let's do a compare and contrast with what happened Saturday night up in Snohomish County. And I love the people of Snohomish County. I began my broadcast career in Snohomish County. I got to know all of these communities so well. I used to do radio broadcasts all around Snohomish County when I was in my earliest 20s. And I got to know Snohomish County communities really well when I was coaching, because most of our opponents were up there. And you go into, Snohomish and Arlington to Marysville. You go into to these towns that are just salt of the earth, Stanwood, just salt of the earth people, communities. They band together. They support each other. And they don't put up with a lot of nonsense. So on Saturday night, the domestic terrorists decided to try to terrorize Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best's home. She lives up in Snohomish County. I'm not going to give you any exact location. But they decided to terrorize Carmen Best's home. There's one thing that they didn't plan on. The people of Snohomish County aren't like the people in Seattle. They would have nothing to do with their nonsense. One woman who was just driving out of the neighborhood saw the mob. And instead of going to her intended destination, she pulled her car across the road to block the mob from getting vehicles in. Another man in the neighborhood, a woman went and posted on a neighborhood Facebook page, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, they're coming for our neighborhood. They're coming for our neighbor, Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best. The terrorists were coming in Snohomish County. But unlike Seattle, they met with some resistance. At least one of the neighbors was visibly armed. I'm guessing that many, many others were legally carrying. Jamie and Whit Rulestone talked to Q13 News about what the neighbors did to stop the mob.
It was not peaceful. They were here to intimidate and scare people, scare children.
It just takes one Molotov cocktail. It takes one person trying to light something on fire, one firework going off. Then, we now have a neighborhood in crisis.
I can't wait to talk to this couple, both Jamie and Whit. They're going to join me right after our 12:30 news, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Do not miss that conversation. As for Chief Carmen Best, she recognizes what they are doing when you go to the home.
When the group of people showed up to my house, it certainly felt very personal about me. It really does seem like a mob mentality and bullying to intimidate a public official.
That's exactly what it is. They want to terrorize to influence how people think. And Carmen Best said, they want me to cut the police budget. She doesn't even have any say over the police budget.
Well, I'm not a person who can vote or has a specific say in the outcome of the budget issues. So being there really is not going to make a difference in the outcome.
And for the neighbors, they said, yeah, you come after one of our neighbors, we got your back.
We admire her. We see what she's doing. She's doing a great job. And that this has happened on her behalf here, we as a neighborhood, are rallying behind her. And
she couldn't believe what the neighborhood did for her. She apologized that this even came here. And I told her, don't apologize. We need to apologize to you that this is even happening. It's unacceptable.
Yes, it is unacceptable. So the neighbors stood up. They stopped the mob. If more Seattle neighborhoods had done that, maybe a lot of the bloodshed could have been avoided. If Jenny Durkin had done that when they first took over Capitol Hill, maybe those two black teenagers would still be alive today, the two who were murdered in CHOP. CHOP, the creation of CHOP is directly connected to the death of those two black teenagers. whose lives matter very, very, very much. But if instead of caving and appeasing and, okay, you took over our neighborhood, how about if we give you $100 million? Will you give it back to us then? That's how you deal with terrorists? You negotiate like that with terrorists? No. You do what the people in Snohomish County did. You meet them with force. You tell them that their terror will not be tolerated. They waited for the police to come. The police arrived in great numbers, and they were able to stop any graffiti, any Molotov cocktails, any arsons at Carmen Best's home. Love this story. Okay, I'll talk to two of those neighbors coming up right after the news at the bottom of the hour. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Yes, I have told you for a long, long, long time that there is an incredible leftist bias in the media, even among so-called journalists. And now we have absolute proof of that. The head of AFTRA SAG, I was a member of AFTRA. Cairo Radio used to be, 15 years, 20 years ago, used to be a union shop. And we voted to decertify because it was the in my professional life, being a member of AFTRA was the single greatest waste of money I've ever had. And so, Social Security too. But you know what I'm talking about. It was a waste. So we're not a union shop. This woman does not speak for my reporter colleagues like Hannah Scott and Nicole Jennings. But this does give you a glimpse. TV stations, most of them, are union shops, and their reporters are the AFTRA members. So when there was a debate about defunding the police, journalists need to remain neutral on that because that's the only way they can fairly present both sides of the story. It's the only way you can tell people that the organizations behind all of this are Marxist organizations that have nothing to do with social justice or civil rights or police reform. They are about destroying our society from within. It would be the sacred duty of a true journalist to present that side of the story. But they have presented just the far leftist message all too often. And now we know why. So at the city council meeting about defunding the police, the president of the Seattle Union for Journalists said that her members have taken a distinct position on cutting the police budget by at least 50%.
Hi, my name is Shalia Allen. I'm the executive director of SAG-AFTRA in Seattle and a resident of West Seattle. For the labor union that represents journalists, a new kind of policing is possible. Defending Black lives and defending our First Amendment rights as journalists means defunding the police and reinvesting in the community. I've watched in Seattle and across the country as journalists have been tear gassed, fired upon, and detained by police officers for doing their jobs. Acts of violence on the press, bringing news to the communities they serve, are a betrayal of our nation's founding principle that a free press is necessary for the maintenance of a free government. SAG-AFTRA denounces police brutality and supports demilitarizing the police and decriminalize Seattle. Another kind of policing is possible. Thank you.
Okay, so you hear that journalists in Seattle say that they are for the decriminalized Seattle movement, which will flood our streets with criminals. That's what journalists in Seattle want, according to their union. There was a poll late last week that a couple of our TV stations ran. 53% of people support defunding the police. Can we believe what they're saying when we know that the journalists have taken a very radical leftist position on this issue? Do you really think you can trust journalists when they declare in a city council meeting by their union president? And then they say, we're tired. Our journalists were fired upon by police. Yeah, because they were in the crowd that was throwing projectiles and IEDs at police. Did you tell Shalia Allen, did you tell the city council that Brandy Cruz, who I believe is not a member of the union, that Brandy Cruz was brutally shoved and attacked by the domestic terrorists because her TV station was video recording? Did you talk about all of the journalists who have been attacked by the mob? No, it's just the police. And why? Because the journalists have embraced, apparently, according to their union, they've embraced a radical leftist position. So my question is, do you think you can trust any of the so-called news? To be fair, when their union has decreed on behalf of their members that they are taking a radical leftist position. Yeah, it's a big old fat, I told you so. This is why my show is the only source of truth. Let's face it. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Really looking forward to this conversation. Coming up right after we check the news. The neighbors, two of the neighbors in Snohomish, who defended Carmen Best's home and stood up to terrorism. I think I'm going to like these people. The conversation is next here on the Dory Monson Show. As we told you in the big lead, a mob decided to execute a little domestic terrorism this weekend. Their target this time was Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best's home up in Snohomish County. But there were some neighbors who would have nothing to do with it and just wanted to protect the sanctuary that our homes should be. Whit and Jamie Rulestone, they were among the neighbors that stood up for Carmen Best, and they join us here on the Dory Monson Show. Whit, Jamie, I appreciate both of you coming on with me today.
Well, we thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So let's start chronologically here. So, Whit, I'll begin with you. When did you all in the neighborhood first hear that there might be some problems on Saturday night?
Well, we didn't necessarily hear there were going to be some problems. It's I came back home from running an errand about 6:50 in the evening, and there started to line up cars on the road out in front of the house. And then about 20 minutes later, there were more and more cars out there. We went out to ask kind of what was going on. Just we do preface that. We do have a venue down the street from us that does weddings and other things.
Okay.
So cars on the road aren't necessarily a hot topic right away.
Sure.
But when we went out to go ask what they were doing, figured, if they're for the venue or whatever, just wanted them not to park in the yard, went out. People started getting out of their car wearing, BLM shirts, and we kind of at that point realized we know who lives in the community with us and that, we needed to come together to make sure that nothing happened.
And Jamie, what was your reaction as all of this started to unfold in the earliest part of the evening?
I was scared. When I started seeing the people get out of the cars, many of them were dressed in black, had hoods on, had masks over their face, not pandemic masks, but legitimate masks covering most of their face except for their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They had bags with them loaded with Lord knows what. It was very, very scary.
And so, Jamie, who starts getting the word around the neighborhood then that you guys are under siege?
Well, I'm the administrator of our neighborhood Facebook page. So I sent out an alert on the Facebook page that there's people with masks walking down the street and 40-ish cars, And luckily, one of our neighbors down the road was just getting ready to leave, and she saw these people coming and was suspicious as well. And she blocked the street with her vehicle.
Is that blue pickup truck that I've seen in the photos?
No, that was the second half. So okay. When they met with resistance in the beginning, they drove away and parked at a local convenience place and kind of got back together, and then they walked in on foot. And so the blue vehicle blocked that other street to keep them from coming back.
Now, Whit, there have been nightly, you know, what they call protests. They are generally riots, domestic terrorism, because terrorism is you try to terrorize somebody's home, their family, to control their thinking or their public position on things. So that's why I have no problem thinking of this as domestic terrorism. What were you, Whit, and your neighbors prepared to do to defend your neighborhood against this crowd?
Defend is the right word, but I think more than anything, we were prepared to remove the terrorists from the area that they were now in. We pushed them back in the sense of asking them honestly, we asked a lot of questions. They got uncomfortable. They moved back. We then moved barriers in the sense of cars in order to continue to push back. The hard thing here is, like you say, terrorism. I mean, these guys have the opportunity to do one thing, and that's light a fire, a firework, a Molotov cocktail, whatever it may be. The spark goes out, and then, now we have a neighborhood in crisis, and that's just what we couldn't have. And as a neighborhood, we all banded together knowing that, and we were willing to, push back as hard as we could with, our as peaceful means as possible and wait for police. We have a wonderful sheriff with Adam Fortney, and he has done nothing but support, the communities up in the North End. And for that, they were there when we called.
You say you're ready to do as much as possible peacefully. Were you guys armed?
There was, that I know of, only one visible firearm.
One visible. No, I mean, I love this so much because I've watched these Seattle neighborhoods get terrorized. In the CHOP zone, it was for weeks and weeks and weeks. Businesses, people who lived in the apartments. On Wednesday night, there was a march through a Queen Anne neighborhood, and a guy in his Queen Anne home came out because they were making so much noise after midnight, and they beat him so badly, they put him in the hospital. And so we've certainly seen what these mobs are able to do and what they have done in the past if you show weakness. And the fact that your neighborhood, Whit, showed strength is the reason why I'm convinced, and I'm curious your view on this, I'm convinced that's why nothing was burned and no graffiti was sprayed.
We adamantly agree. We united as a community and came together to defend ourselves against illegitimate claims in a mob. We have, fortunately, a very prominent member that's a part of our community. And for that, one, we don't credit her with any, with this as coming to us because of her. We don't feel it's her fault that they came. We feel that it's not right that this is the venue that they're taking it to. Right. There's City Hall. There's, police, one police plaza. I mean, that's where you demonstrate. That's where you protest. That's where you actively, peacefully get your voice heard. You don't terrorize a neighborhood in order to attempt to get your voice out there.
This just shows that it takes people, local residents, to get together and say no. When the local government doesn't say no, it has come to us saying, no, this is unacceptable. You're not going to be here.
Well, and I was going to ask you, Jamie, is there also something about not just your neighborhood, but about Carmen Best as a neighbor that made everybody want to stand up and support and defend her in her home?
Honestly, not much of us even know her. She's incredibly busy. She's rarely ever home. I've only talked to one neighbor that actually just knows her a little bit. We all got together because we know she's there, not because we know her, but we know what was going on and what their intentions were wrong.
Well, and I also heard that her husband and daughter were terrified and they had to flee their home and go to the command center. That's all true, is it? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
They had just picked their daughter up from the airport, were coming home, they checked and left because they didn't want to put themselves in harm's way.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't blame them. This is, it's so sad what's happening with these mobs, these domestic terrorists. But I got to tell you guys, amidst all the darkness of these stories, the steady drumbeat of these stories the last couple of months, you two and all of your other neighbors, you give me goosebumps and you give me hope because it's a reminder that there are still some Americans who are willing to stand up for themselves and for their neighbor. And at a time when we are all being abandoned by our politicians, I just love your story. And I can't tell you how much I admire what you and all of your neighbors did.
Well, and I think the biggest thing that we have going for us as a community is knowledge. And, you know, hopefully this message between your show and others, the message gets out there that we, American people, community members, need to stand up. And we need, it's not fight back, it's we're here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's natural to be afraid. That's how I felt in the beginning. And, you know, I want people to know it's okay to be afraid, but it's also okay to stand up and say no. You can't just go around harassing people. It's not right, no matter who you are.
I hope some of these terrorized Seattle neighborhoods that are, they tend to be much farther left than what we find up in Snohomish County. I hope they're listening. And I hope they understand that appeasing the mob and showing weakness to the mob is only going to make things dramatically worse. And it takes people like your neighborhood to start to turn this around. Whit, Jamie Rulestone, great admiration for what you did. Please tell all of your neighbors that I send my very best. You sound like you got a great place to live up there.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Whit and Jamie Rulestone up in Snohomish County. Protected Carmen Beth's home on Saturday night. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, I love those people up in Snohomish County. I'd love to continue to get your reaction to that interview. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Meanwhile, the city council members, Carmen Best sent a letter to the Seattle City Council saying, please, let's speak out against going to people's houses. Now, the one challenging thing, Carmen Best did not want CHOP to happen. That was Jenny Durkin's creation. And it was clear that Carmen Best, who I think is a good person, but this goes back a couple years. Remember when the No Youth Jail movement people, they laid down in the middle of Seattle streets. They bound their arms together in PVC pipe. Instead of just removing them, they let them gum up traffic, and that spread to I-5, and it spread to I-90 and 520, and it caused regional traffic chaos because a bunch of protesters were laying in the middle of the street. And I said at the time, 2.5 years ago, that I thought Seattle police made a critical tactical error in not removing those people, because when you appease bullies and terrorists, it emboldens them. And we're seeing the steady progression, and now it is, you know, a snowball that has just turned into an avalanche that's trying to bury our entire region. And the politicians, they want this. They want this. I don't know if Jenny Durkin does. I don't think she does. But the city council wants this. They want crime. They want criminals everywhere on the streets. Dow Constein's closing the jails. City Council's taking away the police department. And they want to unleash chaos. Because then Marxism rises out of it. It's very interesting how little the other media talks about this. Seattle Times has a story today about defunding the police. They don't talk anything about the Marxist roots of the so-called protesters, the domestic terrorists. They won't call them anything but protesters. But you beat a man in front of his Queen Anne home. You set arsons that burn down the construction trailers at the regional youth justice facility of Starbucks. You could kill people who live above the buildings that they're burning. They go and terrorize Uncle Ike's. I talked to that owner a couple of weeks ago when they smashed his building and set a fire. Why won't the Seattle Times call them domestic terrorists? Well, as we found out from that journalists' union, and after SAG does not represent the Seattle Times, they have a different union. But too many journalists have become far left activists. And so who's presenting the whole story here? And then you have the closure of the schools, which has some parents very, very upset. I got a very interesting email a couple of days ago that I wanted to share with you from listener Lisa. Dory! She capitalized my name and put an exclamation point after it, so I knew it was important. Dory! Just found out that our school district, Snoqualmie Valley, is recommending full online teaching for the start of school, just like the rest of the school districts in the area. But there's a huge difference between our school district and most others in King County. Snoqualmie Valley School District community, our positivity rate is less than 3%. This is lower than what most epidemiologists recommend for opening schools, which is 5%. Lower than what the World Health Organization recommends for safely reopening, also 5%. And much lower than what the Surgeon General recommends for opening schools, which is 10%. Again, Snoqualmie, 3% positivity rates. So it's below the pandemic level. So why do they still need to close every school from the kids? And then Lisa said, we love our school district, school board, and teachers. And I worry they've been pushed into making this decision by the WEA and by fear of the uninformed. We all know how much this is hurting our kids. Can you help us? Love your show. Thanks for keeping me sane. I can help by continuing to spread the word. But the state teachers union, some teachers are working hard during stay at home. Some teachers are working at about, according to their colleagues that have contacted me, they think some of their teachers are working at about 20-30% of what they do when they're in school. But they're still getting paid the same, and our kids are getting 20-30% of the education. It's Travis, and the Fast 15 is coming up next.